We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
The Money Song! Money Song!
It's also the Apprentice song, but whatever.
Money Song!
One of the best bass lines ever. Mount Rushmore, yeah. Bass lines.
Oh, for sure.
Yep. Agreed. By the way, you could join the 411 Pain WQAM street team this Sunday, 1 o'clock, Slackers in Fort Lauderdale. Watch the game, enjoy the Modelo specials, and register for a chance to win a cooler and a 40-inch TV. You can get all the details at WQAM.com. Our friend, as that song signifies, Rob Pizzola, is joining us. We'll head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood, buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Rob Pizzola is a professional sports gambler. He joins us every Thursday at 3 o'clock, and today is no different. And he is not trying to sell you anything. We don't pay him to come on. He doesn't pay us to come on. He's just a professional sports gambler, and we like talking to him. And you can follow him on Twitter if you want, at Rob Pizzola. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Mark.
How are things in the great nation of Canada?
Things are going pretty well right now. I mean, summer's coming to an end. It's starting to get a little bit colder. But aside from that, I think things are going just fine up here.
All right. I always like to check in to our friends in the Great White North. Last week, he gave us, it was Wake Forest. Remember, that game was moved up because of the hurricane. Yeah. He gave us Wake Forest plus the points. That was actually a loser by 1 point. I think it was Wake Forest plus, plus six, and they lost by seven?
Correct. I was hoping to catch a seven at some point in the week, but it never really got there. So, unfortunately, that is what it is. But, I mean, it was a deserved loser. We got lucky with a Wake punt return for a touchdown or something along those lines, special teams touchdown. So, deserved loser.
He gave us the Bengals that Thursday night as an underdog. They won outright. He gave us Massachusetts over FIU plus four. That was a big old loser. We were on that one. That was not fun. Dolphins and Jets. He gave us the Dolphins plus three. That was a good winner for us. We had that one. Yep. And he gave us Temple over Maryland. We had that. Temple plus the points. I think Temple won outright, didn't they?
They did win outright, yeah. Two touchdown underdog went outright.
And then he had the Steelers minus the points over the Chiefs. That was a loss. He had the Bills plus seven against the Chargers. We had that one as well. That was painful. Contagious, brah. So what was it last week? Were you 3-3? 1-2-3? 3-4 on the program. All right, you ready?
Ready to go.
All right. You told us, let's see, last week, Dolphins. I'm just looking at what you gave us. Did you watch that Dolphins game? Were you impressed with them?
I mean, typically what I do on Sundays is I watch NFL Red Zone live during the day. I'll record some other games that I have interest in, and I'll try to watch those games over the course of the week. I didn't catch much of Miami and the Jets last week, partially because Miami was up 20-0 at that point in the game, so you didn't see a whole lot of it on Red Zone, and also not... You know, I just didn't really have all the interest in watching that game after the fact. So, I mean, I look at it. I can't say that I've watched a ton of Miami this year. Obviously, they had the lightning delay in the first week of the season. Am I impressed with them statistically? No, not really. I mean, they're negative 0.2 yards per play through the first two games of the year. Typically, that's a sign of a team that's going to regress to the mean over time. They did benefit from a ton of drops last week. The Jets had a half dozen drops in that game. Yes, drops are a part of football, but there's some luck involved there as well. And also, they lost Josh Sitton for the year prior to last week's game on the offensive line. I think that's really going to hurt them going forward. So I look at Miami now. It's great that they've got those wins under their belt early on in the year, but it looks to they still look like a below-average team to me. I don't want to put too much stock into a small sample size.
All right, I'm going to have you pick the Dolphins-Raiders game in a little bit, so don't go anywhere, peoples. But you mentioned the Jets and the Dolphins beat up on the Jets, certainly in the first half last weekend. Tonight, you got the Browns and the Jets. Last I saw, Browns are -3. You have a side tonight?
Yeah, it's funny. There's money coming in on the Browns, so they're still -3, but they're up to like -3, -120, or -125. Some sportsbooks moving to -3.5. The Browns haven't won a game in over 600 days, and people are lining up to bet them because, I mean, they looked good against the Steelers and the Saints, both of whom haven't won a game yet, by the way. So those are two teams that, yeah, I mean, it's the Steelers and the Saints, but those teams have struggled out of the gate. I think this is an overreaction to what happened in Week 2. Like I mentioned just a second ago, the Jets, they didn't look good. They trailed the Dolphins 20-0. But you dive deeper into that game, I think it was a closer game than people realize. Now, it's a tough spot for the Jets. It's their third game in 11 days, so the schedule makers haven't, you know, they haven't done them a favor in any way. But I'm not sure that that truly matters this early in the season. Maybe for prep time, but not the physical toll on the body. At least I don't believe it does. I will say I've been largely impressed with the Cleveland defense, but I'm still not sold on Tyrod Taylor, a quarterback. He seems to struggle on a weekly basis. The Browns' offense is here, 4.5 yards per play. And when you put that into perspective, considering they played the Steelers' defense, which has been terrible, and the Saints' defense, which looked awful in Week 1, that's a really bad number. So for me, it's Jets or nothing. I would target Jets +3.5. If you can get a 3.5, that's the number I would need to bet the game. There are some out there. Most sportsbooks are still at 3. But 3.5 is the number I need to bet the game. At that number, I do like the Jets, or else I would just pass on it completely.
Okay. I like the Jets. I think he makes a compelling case right there. And that's more fun than betting the Browns. Anyway, you bet the Browns, you feel stupid.
Don't make me do that.
The Browns minus points, you feel stupid. Yeah. All right, let me do the local college teams here, because I do this every week with you. Friday, tomorrow, FAU is at UCF. It's a Friday night game. UCF is a 13.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I don't really see much to bet here. I think UCF is probably a bit overpriced. You have to remember they're coming off a bye week, essentially, because their game against North Carolina was canceled last week due to the hurricane. UCF's offense is going to be able to move the ball. FAU, 101st in total defense right now in the country. That number is obviously skewed because they got killed by Oklahoma in Week 1, but they've also given up 4 touchdowns each of the last 2 weeks to Air Force and Bethune-Cookman. So the defense is going to struggle. The most attractive bet in this game for me would have been on the over, but we've seen the total in this game go from 72.5 a couple days ago all the way up to 77 now. So a lot of the value has been lost. I still think that there's some slight value on the over, but it's not enough of an edge for me to bet it. I think both offenses will move the ball relatively easily, but no bets for me in this game.
All right, Saturday, Miami, the Hurricanes, they host FIU at Hard Rock Stadium. Miami is a 26-point favorite.
Yeah, I talked about this before. Anytime you see a spread this high, especially in college football, a lot of factors come into play. Personally, I think Miami's going to steamroll FIU this week, but they have bigger games on deck. North Carolina next week, Florida State coming up after that. So if this game is a laugher in the fourth quarter, there's some potential for Miami to pull starters. FIU has a chance to squeak in the back door. This is rarely why I find it appealing to bet these games that have these big numbers. FIU's offense has been good over the past few weeks, but you have to account for quality of competition. Old Dominion and UMass are not Miami. The Canes' defense is fantastic right now. They lead the nation in tackles for a loss, 35 tackles for a loss through the first 3 weeks. Opposing offenses are converting just 16% of third downs against them. This is a very good defense. People can talk about FIU being motivated because this is Butch Davis's first game as a head coach against his former program. I just don't think that motivation is going to overcome the talent discrepancy here. So I think Miami wins the game very comfortably. I just can't lay 26 points with them because there's too much uncertainty late in the game here for me.
Okay. FSU, this was a shocking line. FSU is only -10 hosting Northern Illinois, who Falero told us yesterday FSU is paying Northern Illinois $1.6 million for the visit.
FSU has been so bad this year. It's been incredibly bad, and as much of, you know, there should be a huge talent discrepancy between these two teams, but this could be another bad matchup for them because the FSU offensive line cannot block anything. We could put me, Falero, Crowder, and you, Mark, on a defensive line. We will still get pressure in the backfield against this FSU offensive line.
I would watch that game in a heartbeat. That would be great.
NIU has...
You got to double-team Crowder in that situation, huh?
I mean, you could put everybody on Crowder and put the free rush to the quarterback, but NIU has a lot of problems. The pass rush is not a problem for NIU. From that perspective, I think we're going to see FSU struggle offensively again, but for as bad as FSU's offense is, Northern Illinois' offense, they have not thrown for more than 111 yards in a single game this season. The running game has been terrible. They average just over 3 yards per carry. I don't know how Northern Illinois, scores in this game. If I had to pick a side, I'm picking Florida State. I would even lay the 10 points with them. But, man, they have been so bad that team is just on a list for me of unbettable right now, regardless of, until I see anything out of them.
So you will not bet it, or when push comes to shove, you're probably going to bet it?
Listen, there are a ton of games. There's over 50 games on the college football card every week. You got to pick your spots. And for me, I mean, there's a slight edge with FSU at minus 10. I would make them an 11.5-point favorite in the game. But that's a very small edge compared to some other stuff that we have on the card this week. I don't want action on every single game. I'm more risk-averse, like to pick my spots type of better. So they're playable, potentially. It's not something I'm going to bet.
Rob Pizzola, he is a professional sports gambler. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. Crowder's Florida Gators, they are at Tennessee. Florida is a 4.5-point favorite on the road.
Yeah, part of me just wants to say I like Tennessee to get Crowder fired up. But, I mean, the truth is I don't have much of an opinion on this game. I swear, this is like last week. At some point, I will actually give out a pick on the show. It's not going to be in this one. Florida's main issue this year has been defending the ground game of opposing teams. They gave up over 300 yards rushing when they lost to Kentucky a few weeks back. But Tennessee's offensive line has some major issues right now. They have some injuries there. I don't think they're well-equipped to play that ball control style of game that UK did to beat Florida a few weeks ago. If I had to pick a side, I would lean to Tennessee. I think the number is a little bit too high. I'd make Florida about a 4-point favorite, but I don't have much confidence in that selection.
Okay, let's go to the NFL Sunday. The Miami Dolphins, they are a 3.5-point favorite over the Oakland Raiders, and that game is here in Miami. You got a feel?
I do. At 3.5, I would definitely play Oakland. I mean, Oakland's defensive numbers, they don't look too good right now, but they've played two offenses in the Rams and the Broncos that are averaging 6.3 yards per play this year. Those are very strong offensive numbers of their opponents. Everyone wants to talk about Oakland's defense, how they've been gassing in the second half of games this season, but again, I think it's the quality of the offenses that they've faced. Miami's only averaging 5.2 yards per play offensively, so I think the Raiders are going to look a little bit better defensively here. Especially, like I mentioned off the top, the Dolphins without Josh Sitton on the offensive line, that's going to be a hole for them for the rest of the year. So I do like the Raiders to look a little bit better defensively. Miami's weakness on defense is their pass coverage. I could see that getting exploited this week. Derek Carr threw 3 incompletions last week against the Denver Broncos defense. Let that sink in for a second. Now, by no means do I think Derek Carr is an elite quarterback. I don't. But Amari Cooper, Jared Cook, those are going to be some major problems to the Dolphins' defense. What worries me about Oakland here, well, obviously it's that early cross-country start time. That's not going to help. The Raiders' body clocks are going to be on 10 a.m. instead of a 1 o'clock start. Be wearing black jerseys in 90-degree heat. That's also not optimal. You know, with these Miami start times being pushed up earlier this year, I think that gives them a little bit more of a home field advantage. But aside from that, I just don't think that there's enough separating these two teams to warrant this spread. So at 3.5, I would play the Raiders. That's my cutoff. If you can get 3.5, play Oakland.
All right. What if it was down to 3? 3, you would just not play the game?
3 is a pass for me, yeah. Okay. 3 would be a pass for me. But at 3.5, I think there's enough value there to bet it.
All right. My favorite part of the week, Rob Pizzola, 3 random plays.
All right, I'll give out a pair of college football. I've been doing that for quite a bit now, and I think last week we went 1-1 in the 3 plays for the 2 college football I gave out. But I do like doing this. I like a pair of Big 12 games in college football quite a bit this week. We'll start with Kansas State visiting West Virginia. I'm a huge fan of West Virginia's offense, as much as anyone else, but they're laying 16 points. I think that's too many points to spot here. The strength of Kansas State's team is their pass defense. They've already faced Mississippi State, and Mississippi State's passing game is nothing but big play after big play, and they were able to keep that passing game in check. West Virginia's feasted on Tennessee, Youngstown State, teams that don't have a great secondary, this is going to be a much more physical game for them. And I also like Kansas State's offensive line in this matchup. I think they can push around the West Virginia defensive front. They can keep that Mountaineers offense off the field. I just think 16 points is way too many here. I'm going to take Kansas State on the road.
All right, and the second one?
I like Texas at home to TCU. Strictly from a numbers standpoint, I think that there is a case to be made that Texas could be favored in this game and not a three-point home underdog. At the very least, I think this game is a coin flip. Yes, TCU can move the ball through the air, but a lot of that is set up by their ability to run the ball. You look at what they've done offensively in the first few weeks. They run to set up the pass. That's not going to work all that well against Texas. Texas held USC to negative 5 yards on the ground. They had 10 tackles for loss in that game. I think this Texas defensive front is very good. I think they're going to be able to get in the TCU backfield. Am I concerned about Texas's ability to score? Yes, but I see this game as more of a coin flip than anything. So anytime I'm getting a team that's a three-point underdog in a game I think is a coin flip, I'm going to bet them. I do like Texas at home to TCU.
And finally, your final one.
Okay, let's go over the NFL. I realize I have not given out an NFL winner yet this year. The three plays I've given out on the show have
actually, no, you gave us the Dolphins. You gave us the Dolphins. Don't take that away from yourself.
And the Bengals, sorry, on Thursday.
All right, yeah. You gave us two NFL winners just last week.
I'll say in this final segment.
Yes, the three randoms,
The three randoms I have not given out an NFL winner. So I hope to reverse that trend. I lost betting against the Chiefs last week. I am a stubborn human being. I am going to do it again this week. I maintain that Kansas City is not a great team. They have a great offense, but they are not a great team. The Chiefs' offense is currently masking just how bad they are on defense, and because of that, we get to play against them at an inflated number. The Chiefs' defense has given up more than 1,000 passing yards already this season. They have given up more than 500 yards after the catch. They cannot tackle. And now they're going up against a 49ers team whose head coach, Kyle Shanahan, is one of the greatest offensive minds in the league. I don't think the 49ers defense is going to win them the game here, but they get Reuben Foster back this week. That's a big bonus for them. To me, the Chiefs should probably be a four-point favorite in this game, but the average fan loves offense. They'll line up to bet KC at any number this week. That's why you see the spread at 6.5, some spots even 7. I like the 49ers this week. I think the 49ers could win the game outright, but I think they're at least going to keep it close.
Rob Pizzola, professional sports gambler. You do not disappoint ever. Today, he likes the Jets plus the points tonight, right?
Jets at 3.5.
3.5.
3.5.
You can get
very
the Jets.
Particular about that. I mean, people want to bet the game. I understand that, but don't settle for a line just because it's a, you know, it's a nationally televised game. 3.5. Bet it. If not, then just pass.
FAU, UCF, no real bet there. Doesn't like laying as many as 26. Miami and FIU. FSU, Northern Illinois. Unbettable, he calls it, even though he probably thinks FSU will handle that. No opinion, really, on the Florida-Tennessee game. Bet Tennessee if you want to annoy Crowder. And then on Sunday, he likes Oakland plus 3.5, if you can get that over the Dolphins. Oakland plus the points. And then the three random picks. K-State on the road. Texas plus the points. And the San Francisco 49ers plus 6.5 or 7, right?
Nailed it, Mark.
All right, there you go. Rob Pizzola. Follow him on Twitter, at Rob Pizzola. Thank you for making time for us. We always enjoy it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Enjoy the games this week.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.